We read a verse of Scripture in the prayer room. Kind of ties tonight to the message. We've just been studying through the book of Luke in the prayer room. And I think it'd be all right for me to reread that verse without making the men in the prayer room mad. I know sometimes y'all get mad if I read too many Scriptures. I'm just kidding. So I want you to turn to the book of Luke. Chapter number 4. The book of Luke, chapter number 4. We read these verses earlier, and I just want to read one tonight to you, and I'll ask you to stand in a little bit, not yet. This, don't put me on the clock yet. This don't count. Verse 41 says, "And devils also came out of many." Jesus is healing sick people and casting out demons here. "Devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." Do you understand tonight that when you read this verse that the devils were willing to say that he, the Lord Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of God? It even said, "For they knew that he was Christ." And everywhere you go, you run into human beings which are a whole lot less powerful than the devil and those demons are, that deny the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Yet even the demons of hell know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This morning we preached a message that God had really worked on us on all week long, entitled, "Lord, I Believe." It just seemed to me that I needed to spend a little time with him to tell him, "I believe him, but help my unbelief." And as we tried to share that message, maybe, maybe not, it got a hold of you, and maybe it stirred something or spawned faith or something inside of you, we pray. And tonight the Lord has laid on my heart a message that is not a message that will contradict what I said, but as a message, I pray, that will complement what the Lord had me to preach. Now, understand, when you read that verse, you and I say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you better. But right here we read where the devils themselves believe. I want to turn to the book of James chapter 2. And I'll ask you to stand when you find that place in James chapter 2. We are going somewhere with that. At least I feel like the Lord's got something He wants us to do. James chapter 2, if you would stand with us. Verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.'" Verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Hear me tonight. There ain't no such thing as a saved devil. Quit praying for him, he ain't going to get saved. The demons ain't going to get saved. They've made their decision in eternity past and they're stuck right where they are.
And their job is to pull you down to their level. And even the devils believe. Now I appreciate your confession. And I appreciate your move this morning. Praise God for it. And I'm not trying to pull the sticks out from underneath what was built up this morning. You hear me? I'm not trying to take away the prop, but I want to compliment and say, that's well and good that you believe, but the devils believe. There needs to be something more than just faith in their lives. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Where I used to pastor, wonderful church, great people, love them tonight dearly. I was preaching messages in the book of James and must have stirred somebody up, because we came out one night and on every car in the parking lot was, "Your preacher is preaching a lie." It was on every car. They'd run little things off. Oh, it was so neat. They had done such a wonderful job. And I had dozens of them that people gave to me off their cars as trophies of grace. And I still got them in a file at the house. I can show them to you. And it seems that they weren't saying that I was preaching the lie called the rapture, like a lot of people don't believe in the rapture, but we know the Word of God is true. Let all men be a liar and the Word of God be true. But they said the book of James does not belong in the Scriptures, and your pastor is in error when he preaches from it. Now you hear, bless God, what I'm going to tell you tonight. If you are in here tonight and you do not accept the book of James as being part of the Word of God, you just suffer through it as best you can, and you open your ears to hear the teaching, and you see if it's contradictory or complementary of the Scriptures. For I believe we have an inerrant and an infallible Bible. I believe it is complete, and I believe it is entire, and the book of James belongs, bless God, just exactly where the Holy Ghost of God has placed it, and we're not going to back up for anybody off of it. And I'm not trying to be dogmatic with it about it. I'm just trying to tell you there are people there that will challenge you that the book of James does not belong in the Bible. I can tell you tonight that Martin Luther, that great reformer, when he first began, he himself denied the book of James belonged in the Bible. And you hear me? You read the book of James and you look through it and you'll see why they hate it. James is a tough book. One of the toughest books in all of the Bible. But he's writing to a church that was scattered, widely scattered, all over the face of the world at that point in time. And he's writing to you and I. And he says something to us. He says, faith, praise God for it, without works is dead. Being alone. Tonight we want to preach on this thought with God being our helper. Faith that works. That's what we need. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to stand and preach as your servant, preaching to your people. God, I know it was you that called. It was you that spoke to me specifically about preaching. Lord, I know that. Lord, I remember when you first spoke to me about it. I was in the altar at the Fletcher First Baptist Church. The preacher had preached on the true vine. And as I knelt there wanting to make sure that my life was connected with the vine and that I was going to be a fruitful branch, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Will you preach?" Lord, I remember I said I would do anything. Will you preach? And Lord, it scared me to death. And I didn't want to do that. And Lord, I did everything I could to try to get out of it. I ran. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. People would talk to me about preaching, and Lord, I denied it. I wanted to spurn it, get it away from me. My daddy being a preacher, I didn't want to stand. But yet, God, you continue to call in your mercy and your grace and speak with me daily. Will you preach? Will you preach? I remember on a Wednesday night when the man of God came and said, would you teach our prayer meeting? My first answer, Lord, you remember, was, oh no, I'll do anything but that. And yet, God, you came and spoke to me and said, you said you'd do anything. If you won't preach, will you teach? And God, you were trying to work with me. And God, I thank you for that. And God, I remember I had to back up and repent and go back to the man of God and tell him that I would teach on that Wednesday night. And God, ever since that very point, you've dealt with me. And I thank you very strongly. And God, tonight, as we stand in this pulpit, knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that you spoke to our hearts, and you've brought through me through many a storm and many perilous circumstances, God, we stand here tonight still in need of your help. We still haven't figured it out, nor will we ever till we reach heaven. God, we're still not deserving of anything. And God, we are a sinful creature, I know. And God, as we stand tonight, I realize that this is a difficult passage of Scripture to preach from. One that many God-haters deny. One that many church members do not like to hear. One that can be difficult for a simple preacher like myself to get across to his people with any merit. God, would you tonight, would you energize me by the Spirit of God? And would you take my feeble words and would you give them power in your presence to go forth to your people and speak to their hearts and teach them tonight? Help us, God, to have an understanding, a working knowledge, wisdom of your Scriptures tonight. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' precious name, for without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And we live in a society today where the church is seeking the approval of an unregenerated society. It's amazing nowadays how the church, most of them, have started flirting with the standards and the philosophies of this old world. Nowadays you can go into most churches and they'd rather have the approval of man than the approval and the authority of God. It's scary. Seems nowadays a lot of churches, they've got doctrine, but they ain't got no conviction. A lot of churches has got rituals, but they ain't got any righteousness anymore. It's sad. The conduct of the church nowadays is representing the conduct of the world. They're very closely associated. We've long passed the days when the church used to be the thermostat. You know, when you go over to a thermostat and you cut it up or down, that's what dictates how warm or cold it is in here. And the church used to be a thermostat in this old world, amen. It kind of dictated the spiritual climate of the society. But no longer is the church a thermostat. We've decided to become a thermometer. And we've decided to measure how cold or how warm it really is, rather than controlling things like we're supposed to do. I began to ask myself this last week as God dealt with me about, do you believe me? Lord, I believe. He asked me another question. It is a question that needs to be asked to you tonight. How much of my faith is talk rather than walk? It may have been a major hurdle for you to have got out of your pew, walked down this altar, and to say, Lord, I believe you. Help my unbelief. Lord, I want to trust you. That may have been a major hurdle for you. Well, there's another hurdle that needs to be crossed. If you've crossed that one, praise God. But there's another one that's got to be crossed. It is this. It's not just words. It's an action. Now I want you to notice this in the book of 1 Peter. Leave your hand there on the book of James. Turn over to the book of 1 Peter and let me say something about you tonight. About your belief that you've proclaimed or that you've confessed. How much of my faith is talk rather than walk? He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. He's speaking about the church here. He's talking to you specifically tonight, Bethel. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Brother Rocky used that verse last week, and I thought when he was looking at y'all, he knew y'all was peculiar. He knew right then that verse applied to Bethel, because we are a peculiar people. If you're visiting here tonight, you'd probably say, "Hey, man, I could tell it when I walked in. These people at Bethel, they are peculiar people." But we appreciate you being here, and to tell you the truth, from where I'm standing, visitor or home folk alike, you all look the same to me. I like that. So we're all peculiar. But look what he says. "That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." What does He want you to do? He wants you not only to believe Him, but He wants you to show forth His praises. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't really going to praise Him if you don't believe Him. If you have faith, there's going to be some works with it. You're going to show some praises. I think I need to read another verse of Scripture before we start preaching. It is in the book of Ephesians. Would you turn there with me? Chapter number 2. You may say, "Preacher, how many of these verses? We turned all morning. Now we're turning tonight." Hey, I heard them in Bible drill tonight across the hall from my study, reciting verses back. I tell you what, I was just about to shout to hear them youngins quoting Bible verses. Praise God for that. It'd be good, Brother Chris, if we had an adult Bible drill class. Got quiet in here, didn't it? Scared you half to death and killed the service. But we need to know the Word of God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and we'll try to conclude our introduction. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Grace, grace. Boy, I like to jump out of my skin when y'all sung that song tonight. I'm telling you, I like to have a holy fit right there. "For by grace are ye saved through..." We can do better than that. "For by grace are you saved through
faith."
Now we read in James, faith, praise God, we're saved by grace through faith. Faith without works is dead. Being alone. God said to me, "What do you base your salvation on?" "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Preacher, not of works. Not of works. Yeah, but faith without works is dead. Yeah, but it says not of works. Let me tell you something. When you really get saved, and when you have believing faith, you'll have faith that works. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Nobody likes verse 10, but "for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Hey, if you really believe Him, then in your everyday life, there ought to be works to show your faith in Him. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 88%, there was a big poll taken. 88% of the people that were polled, Brother Shane, said that they believed that good works and good deeds and acts of kindness would one day land their soul in heaven. 88% of people believe all you've got to do to go to heaven is help that little old lady across the street or carry out her groceries. Wrong answer. 88% of people that were polled in that poll are wrong. How are we going to go to heaven? We're going by saving grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, work on the cross, dying there for our sins, being taken down, put in a tomb, stone rolled in front of it for 3 days, but on the third day, glory, hallelujah, up from the grave He arose, victorious over death, hell, and His foes. And all of us tonight, amen, because of faith in His saving and cleansing work, has made an eternal difference in our lives. But once you come to Him by faith, there should be some works to prove that you are saved. Now, if we look at the book of James, chapter number 2, go back to those verses. True faith is not an empty claim. I see so many people. I mean, I've knocked on doors in Spruce Pine, and I talk to people, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Where do you go to church? Oh, I've got a membership at such and such church. And I remember when I first moved here, I said, who's the pastor? And they said, I don't know. I got a new preacher 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know his name. Lord, have mercy. Said they're saved, good Christian folk, and don't even know who their pastor is after he's been there for 4 or 5 years. I kind of quit asking that question, Brother Shane, because I thought, for sure, I'd run into somebody that said, I go to Bethel Baptist Church, and I got a new preacher down there, and I don't know who he is. And I'd hate to say, Lord God, it's me. So I quit asking that question. But you'd be amazed how many people I talk to say, well, we're good Christian folks, and yeah, we know we ought to go to church, but somehow we don't go. I say, there's a lot of people, I believe, that are making an empty claim that we are saved. We have faith in Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, if you really, truly have real, genuine, biblical, scriptural faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be works to go with it. Now I want you to watch something here. What would it profit for a man to say, I am in the family of God, but he hates his brothers and sisters that are born of God? Let me read you a verse of Scripture over here in 1 John. The Bible says in 1 John, there's a lot I could read to you. Chapter number 5, turn with me there. Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. In other words, you ought to love each other. If you don't love each other, and you hate your brother who is saved, and you hate his guts, whoa, you got a works problem. I think you've got a faith problem. I wonder if you've got a saved problem. Now you turn back to James chapter 3. What does it profit, my brethren? He's writing to the church, my brethren. Though a man, the word is saved. I want to anchor on that word if a little bit. I hear a lot of people talk a lot, don't you? Oh, they say, they say. Hey, say! Watch here. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, this is for professing Christians. True faith is not an empty claim, professing Christian. He gives us an example here, and he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be filled and be warmed and be filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, he's saying, if your brother or sister in Christ comes to you and says, listen, I'm starved to death, I'm hungry, we don't have any food, and you've got a whole pantry full, and you say, well, I hate it for you. We're going to put you on the prayer list at Bethel. I'll call a preacher. Have a nice night. We'll be praying for you. See ya. Be warm. Be clothed. Be fed. If you say you're saved, and a person shows up to do that, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion to him. Let me ask you this question. If a man say, the word say tells me there's a presence of words. I want to tell you something. Can words feed that person that's hungry? Can words clothe that person that's naked? Here, wear this. God bless you. Put that on. It's not going to clothe them. Can deeds of kindness, words of kindness, put a roof over their head and shelter from a rainy, cold night? They say, well, be warm. I'll be praying. Hope it turns out well for you. We appreciate you so much. Have it and pat them on the back and send them out. How's that going to help somebody? It's what we do. I'm not saying you're turning away people that's in need, but you have people, amen, just say, well, we put them on a prayer list, and you don't visit them. You don't call them. You'll go to the preacher as if the preacher called them. You don't call. You don't check. What's all on the preacher? I'm not trying to blame everything on the preacher here, but I'm just telling you, faith without love. You say you have faith. You the one said, I'm saved. I believe. But if you really believe, you'll want to help take care of some people and love some people and be willing. You know what you'd be willing to do? Even if it meant this, that you got out of your, honest, I'm worried to death that some of you in this church are literally chained to a pew. I've wondered many times if I could hear a chain rattling like an old dog. Because you sat there and the invitation's made and the Holy Ghost is present and everybody else run the altar, but you're just sitting there. And you stay in. And I want us to wonder if it's because you're chained to the pew. Because if you really loved your neighbor like you say you do, and if you're really saved, like, are you saved? Oh, yeah, everybody had it. Well, you that saved, come older. He do that. You see, there'll be some works present. There'll be some evidence in your life. There'll be some proofs. We have these nice ways of talking to people and trying to, you know, politically do everything correct. But words, you hear me, are not going to save or help anybody. Your empty words. Now, I think of the blood that was at the time of Passover. God said, the death angel's coming, and I'm coming with him. And everybody that don't have the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of their house, I'm going to visit there, and the firstborn's going to die. And I can just see some of us, huh? So the Lord's coming looking for the blood. Well, I have faith that He's coming. Lord, I believe You. You are coming just like You said You would. And at midnight, He stops by your house and He looks for the blood and it ain't on the doorpost or the lintel. You said you have faith, but works would have come and you would have applied the blood. You'd have done something with the message that God gave you. But a lot of us just say, I got faith. If a man say he have faith, I got faith. But you won't do anything about it. Maybe that's not necessarily always true at Bethel, but it's true at a lot of churches. Sitting on the stool of do nothing and tickled to death to be there. You see, there was no response from professing Christians. I say, I have faith, I have faith. But when it comes right down to it, you will not do anything that's asked of you. That's scary. Now, I want to make a couple of observations. And if you would like to mentally jot these down or write them down, maybe it'll help you at some point in time. Can I say this? That works. You got to put your thinking cap on. If you don't, you ain't going to get it. Works without faith is useless. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to teach Sunday school and I'm going to sing in the choir. Praise God, we need people singing in the choir. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's great. But do you have faith? Well, I got works. Works won't save you. And works without faith is useless. Can I read something in the book of Matthew, chapter 7? I want to show you how useless that works without faith really is. Matthew, chapter 7. It's useless. That means it is dead. Scripture says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you have works but no faith, you're not pleasing God. But I'm teaching Sunday school. I don't care. But I give them a tithe. That's great. But you better have faith if you're going to go to heaven. Works without faith is dead. Watch here. Verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? There's works. We prophesied. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. We've done works, Lord. Look at all that we've done. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had works, but no faith. And they're hell bound in the lake of fire forever and ever. What works without faith is useless. Now let me say this. Good works are not the cause of faith. Now I'll do all this stuff and it'll bring and it'll stir up and spawn faith. Nope. Works will never spawn or seed faith. Faith is a gift of God. God has given each one of us a measure of faith that we could believe. Do you realize what that means? Oh, you say, I'm saved. You didn't even come on your own. He came to you and dealt with you about Himself, and then He gave you faith to believe that He is. That wasn't even your faith. Some of y'all look at me like you're looking at a new gate like a cow does. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. God gave you faith. And if you don't take and partake of the faith that He gave you to believe that He is, you can't get saved. Works will not spawn faith. Faith is a gift of God. But works will be the results of faith. When you exhibit faith, and you're really believing Him and trusting Him in faith, works will be evident. Works are the results of faith. Well, I thought about this little illustration. There was this years ago, true story. There was a company that came out with an instant cake mix for you Betty Crocker ladies. All you had to do was add water to what the ingredients was and put it up, stir it up, and put it in a pan and bake it for so long, and it was a cake. That's all you had to do. Recipe, just add water to it. And the company was amazed that people didn't buy it a whole lot. And when they went out and reviewed and took all these samples from people, you know, and getting all these polls, they found that the people thought it was too easy. Can't be no good if you just add water. That's too simple. So the company said, we're going to change the formula. Now, to sell this cake mix, true story, you've got to add water and one egg. And if you'll add egg and water, then you can bake this cake. And the idea worked, and sales went out of the roof because people thought, yeah, I've got to do something to be able to bake this cake. Now, that story reminds me how people react to the plan of salvation. God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You come to me in faith, and I'll save you. That's too easy. That's like adding water. That's too easy. If there's something I can do, then I believe I can get saved. But I got to do something. I've got to be baptized. No. There's nothing you can do to be saved other than come by faith that He gave you. But now watch me now. The very fact when you stood up and you came and you knelt in faith, works were already present. When you stood up and professed and confessed and went out to live for Christ, you're already beginning to work for Him. Oh, it's a deep theology, ain't it? I've killed half of you, I'm worried. Let me say this. A man may have good works. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Simple preaching, deep thought. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, if I had the cure for cancer and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Listen, if you have good works and you've cured cancer, I mean, you've stopped aneurysms from happening in people's brains, and you came up with a cure for MS to help my wife, God bless you! But that will not save you. You have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hear what I'm going to say. You cannot, hear me, if you really, genuinely get saved by faith in Christ, there will be works. You cannot have genuine faith without works present. If you really got saved, I'm trying to challenge, are you really saved? Because if you don't have works and there's not evidence in your life of salvation, you're in trouble. Now, good works, number four, are not proof of the presence of faith. Good works, curing cancer and all that stuff, doesn't prove to me you're saved. But the absence of works shows the absence of faith. And that tells me you ain't saved. Now, I wonder, if they come out and spiritually arrested you and brought you up before the court of the church and set you down and put you on the witness stand and said, we're going to charge you with being a Christian. Could we find enough evidence to convict you of being saved? Let's go to your house and look at your magazines. Hey, I know what we'll do. Let's go to your house and get your checkbook. And let's see where the money goes. Hey, I know what we'll do. Let's run and see where your Bible's at. Let's see if you've been reading it lately. Huh? I tell you what we'll do. Let's listen to what you've been saying lately. Who you've been talking about. What you've been talking about. Let's look at where you've been lately. Let's track you down. See the places you've been going. Hey, I know what we'll do. Let's get your kids. All you kids that's here tonight, and you got mom and daddy here, won't y'all stand up? We're going to have a little confessional tonight. Want to know how things are going on in your home? Come on. Oh, Lord, your parents are holding them back. Oh, no. You see, if we're really as saved as we say we are, works will be there. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, Simon, lovest thou me? You remember that? Am I killing y'all? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter didn't say, oh, look at all I've done. Look at all the things I've done. Not what he said. He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I've got faith in you, and when I have faith in you, when it's present, we'll show genuine works. How come we always try and justify what we do? Everybody, look what I did. Look what I did. They'll bless your heart. Go back here to the book of James, chapter 2. True faith is not just some empty claim. Some Christian can't just say, I'm saved. There'll be works in your life. It's not just about what you say. There needs to be some reality. So something that's tangible, some evidence of works that'll be there. And I promise you, works accompany salvation in faith. And then he talks not only about professing Christians. You know, it's in verse 15. If a brother or sister, that's professing Christians. What about them proud demons, verse 19? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What about that? You say you believe, you say you believe, the devils believe. Bless God, I'll show you. You're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You get your Bible, amen? I'll pull a book on you. Go over here with me to the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. We read one earlier. If that wasn't good enough for you, I'll pull the book. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 29. Turn there with me. Let's just review the demons and see what the demons have to say. You think they don't believe? They believe. I want to submit to you, they believe, and they have a head knowledge. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They have a head knowledge. But they reject a heart knowledge, a love, an affection. They will not work for Him. They do not want to bow to Him. If they do, they do it because they have to, and they do it reluctantly. You and I, praise God, have been given the opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, praise God, our very desire of our heart to bow before Him and want to worship Him and to serve Him and to lift Him up. But the demons are fighting you and rejecting everything you do. They don't want to work for Christ, but they believe. You see, genuine faith produces works. Their faith in Christ is a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 29, "Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God? Art Thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They know their time is coming. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, be quick now. Mark chapter 5, Bible drill time. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 7. "And they cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure Thee by God that Thou torment me not." We read to you Luke chapter 4. We'll read it again. Luke 4 and verse number 34. We can read this section. Saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with Thee, Thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art Thou come to destroy us? I know Thee who Thou art, the Holy One of God." You see, the devils have a belief system. And when they believe God, it is an empty claim. It is a claim that we believe You, but we will not serve You. What is your claim? You say you're saved. I bet tonight if I ask a show of hands, how many of you are saved? Shoop! Everybody's hands go up. But let me ask you the next question. Is your faith just talk? Because you say so? Or is your faith shown in your everyday walk? Hello? Brother Keith, is this on? Yeah, he says it is. Got awful quiet in here. I got scared and said, left me. Do you realize that even the demons believe? We said that mankind, a lot of them don't believe. 88% believe that good works will get the job done. Hey, Psalms chapter 14, verse number 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Even the demons are smarter than you to believe that there's a God. You remember that little old shoeshine boy, his little colored boy? He went up there, that businessman in front of the barber shop, and he was working on his shoes there, shining them. That man had a newspaper up, and he just began to talk and talk and talk to somebody up there, and he said, "There ain't no God." And that little boy went, "Whoop!" And he quit shining his shoes. That man felt him quit shining on his shoes, pulled that paper down and said, "Boy, what you doing? Shine them shoes." He said, "Whoop!" He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Mister, the Bible done said the fool has said in his heart there is no God, and you done blabbed it with your big mouth." That's an awful bold confession. You hear what I'm going to tell you right now. In hell, right now, there ain't one atheist there. What, preacher? There's atheists here, got sent there, and now they know they done messed up. They put their faith in the wrong thing, and they got in trouble. Go back to James. I'm almost done. I've got 2 points. I'm halfway done. You think I'm more than that? The book of James, chapter number 2, as we close tonight. True faith is not an empty claim from professing Christians, from proud demons it may be. And I want to say tonight, if you're really genuinely saved, it is not an empty claim. You will want to work for Him. Let me say as I close, true faith is not an empty creed. Now there's a lot of men tonight that are theologians, scholars. They know these scriptures inside and out, and they deny them. I watched the other night on the Discovery Channel. I like to fell on the floor. I about had a cow and everything. And I've seen these infidels that are obviously in for hell saying that, well, homosexuality, God was never against it. What? And that got my attention. And I watched that whole blooming show. And I'm telling you what, I said, what are they going to do about Lot? What are they going to do about Sodom? They said that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Not because of the homosexual activity they had there, but because they weren't hospitable when the angels came and then take them into their house and welcome them. Lord God in heaven, I'd like to have had a cow. I was going to have to call my wife and tell her to get Chris Pittman to pick up the dead corpse that was going to be laying there in our floor, because I thought I'd die before the night was over. You hear what I'm telling you? The Lord God of all glory tonight, no matter what some scholar or some infidel or some theologian tells you, the Lord God of glory, and He alone says for you to be saved, you must come by faith. And when you come by faith, it is not some empty creed. There will be works present. For when you look at Abraham, which says our father was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Think about the patriarch, Abraham. God spoke to him, said, I want you to get up and I want you to leave the land of the Chaldeans in which you're in. He believed God and he followed him. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19 or so, when he gets over there, or chapter 15, when he gets over there, God says, you see all these stars? You're going to outnumber the stars. I'm going to make you a promise. And guess what? Abraham believed God. He believed Him. When all these Sodom and Gomorrah and things were going on, guess what Abraham was doing? He was making altars, and he was still worshiping and serving God and seeking His face. In Genesis chapter 22, I believe it is, God said, turn there with me. God said, Abraham, I want you to go up on the mountain and I want you to offer your son Isaac there as a sacrifice to me. Look with me in Genesis chapter 22. He said, take now, verse 2, thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee is. And Abraham rose up. Listen, he believed God, and when you believe God in faith, there'll be works. You'll do what God says do. You won't go your own way. You want to please God. Amen. He took his boy, his promised seed, and he went up to Mount Moriah. And guess as he's going there, look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Now that verse gets me. We all know that Abraham went up there on the mountain to offer the boy. When he drew back the knife, the angel of the Lord stopped him. And there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns back there, which God stopped him from offering Isaac. And he would offer that ram that was caught in the thicket in place of his son Isaac. But look at what Abraham's faith just said. Faith works. Look at verse 5. Abraham said, you abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, comma, and come again to you. In other words, I'm going up there to offer him, but we're coming back. I believe my God is big enough, if I have to lay down my boy, my God's big enough to raise him back again. And I'm willing to go to work, no matter what it requires. I'm willing to do this, and we'll be back. Guess what? Glory to God, if you'll think about something, God the Father said He loves us equally, all of us. And His love went to work, and He did send His Son. He could have just said, I love you, but He showed us in His work. He worked and showed us by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Said, Abraham, you're not to send your boy. I'm going to send my son. I'm willing to go to work. Give my son's life that you might be saved. Glory to God. He was buried. And on the third day, Jesus was raised again. Aren't you glad tonight? He didn't just say He loved us, but He showed us with His work. If God shows us in His work, why should we not show our faith by our works? It speaks about Rahab the harlot. She risked her life. She made a statement. She said, "Our hearts melted when we heard what your God has done to the king of Og and all these other kings, Sihon. And man, our hearts have been melting. And we want to tell you boys, your God, He is God." That was faith. Do you agree? Your God, He is God. And she said, "I plead with you." She started praying. "Will you spare my life?" I said, "If you'll do something. You let down that scarlet thread of redemption out the window. And when we come back, everybody that's in your house with that scarlet line of redemption, that scarlet thread of redemption hanging out the window, everybody's in it's going to be spared." She didn't just sit there and say, "Oh, well, I believe it. That's great." Bless God, she got up and went to work. She said, "Hey, Daddy, would you come with me?
Amen.
I've met a God.
Yeah.
It's changed my life. Hey, Mom, I don't want to be a prostitute anymore. He changed my life. Come and see a man, glory to God." She went and got her cousins, her uncles, and anybody she could round up that would believe God. And they got in that house. And they hung out that red scarlet line of redemption. And they was in there and said, "Lord's going to spare us." When the people of Israel walked around those city walls 7 days, and on the seventh day, seven times around. And on the seventh time around, when they began to shout it out, guess what? The city walls fell except one section where Rahab's house was. She showed her faith by her works.
Amen.
Let me conclude tonight in James chapter 2, not only with the patriarch Abraham and the prostitute Rahab, but we see it with the very presence of the Spirit in the body. Verse number 26. "For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Chris, stand up. Turn around. Y'all know this guy? Chris Pittman. Y'all know what he does for a living? What God has called him into? What line of service? Anybody know? No. Huh? He's the funeral home business. Am I right? Don't you sit down, you turn in, look at them. You see them all the time. They come in and out of there. All of them just dying to get down there and see you anyway. Every one of them is coming. Now watch. How many times have you gone to the funeral home, you go by that body, and you'll say, "Boy, I tell you what, they look so natural. They look peaceful. Funeral home's done a wonderful job." Those are words that you say. I heard you say. Listen, I go down there too. Ain't you heard people say they look so good? They look wonderful. Y'all look at me funny. Is that not what y'all say? Now, when you get down there, your kind words, "They look so good and so peaceful." Does that raise them? Because that body that's lying there, that looks peaceful and still, doesn't have a spirit in it anymore, and it's dead. If you have faith, you say you have. But if you don't have works, it's a dead corpse. Oh, sit down. Thank you. He's so sweet. He's such a gentleman. I really thank the world of so-and-so. They're the most wonderful person, have the cleanest testimony. I heard them say how much they believed in God. Got a rap sheet that long. Figuring out right now how they're going to try to embezzle the church. Get to the office before they can lock the money up. You hear me? Just because somebody says, "I've got faith in Christ," that don't make them saved. True faith will exhibit works. And if works are not present in their life, they are a dead corpse. Oh, they look good. Bless the heart. That's wonderful. Can I say something to you tonight? Look at me. Look at me. I do not have to tell you that I'm alive. I'm alive, Chris. Are you alive? I'm alive. Are you alive? Lord, how you doing? You alive? You see, I can look and tell that they're alive. You know how I know? They're breathing. And their breathing is works. Shows me they're alive. Moving their hands and their arms and their mouth. And their eyes are blinking at me. They're alive! They're alive! Lord, have mercy, they're alive. Do you realize when you know that a church is alive? Not just because it has a steeple and says we have faith in Christ. It's because they stick their hands out to somebody. And they love somebody. And they've got real, genuine faith in Christ. And they're acting on it. It's not just some dead, stagnant stuff that's going on inside some dormant building. And because they got stained glass windows, that don't make it a living, breathing church. Amen. A church is alive because the presence, the Spirit of God is upon that place. It'll show works. Amen. Righteous works. Boy, I've been in a lot of places that showed works. It wasn't the right kind of works. But boy, that works. I'll ask you a question. You stand. I'm done. I promise. Preach long enough. Way far gone long enough. You say you love Him. You say you have faith. Do you read this Bible? Do you faithfully attend the house of God as God gives you the opportunity? Huh? Do you speak to Him when you pray? Are you hearers only then of the Word, or are you doers of the Word? I talked with somebody, said, I've heard it, preacher. I've talked about it. But preacher, I don't have no peace in my heart. If you're looking for works, preacher, it's not there. What is this blocking the liberty in your life? Huh? I read about a man. This man was wanted in the state of New York, in the city of Albany, for committing some heinous crimes, and he skipped out. Well, he went off to the western part of the state, met a lady, married her, had a child with her, started living a brand new life, clean living, wonderful person. One day at a convenience store, a detective walked up right behind him and said, "Sir, you're under arrest." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "You know what you did?" He named everything you did and read him his rights. Took him out of the car and he said, "I'm married. I did all those things. I'm married. I've got a kid. Can I go by our home and tell my family?" The detective, out of the grace of his heart, actually took him to his house and let him go in, took the cuffs off of him, and tell his wife and say, "Honey, have I been a good husband?" "Oh yeah, you've been a great husband." "Have I been a good father?" "You've been a great father." "Have I been a good provider?" "Yes, you've been a wonderful provider." "Why are you asking these questions?" "Well, this man here says that I'm guilty." He said, "Sir, you're wanted by the state of New York. You don't have everything that you need to go free. You are locked up." Can I ask you tonight? The faith you say you have, the change that's happened in your life. You've got people testify for you and tell you all these wonderful things. What a great person. Hey, glory to God! Is there really works there? Are you really clean before God? Let me ask you something. Do you really want to read your Bible? "No, preacher, something's..." I had real genuine faith at one time, preacher. I was so excited to read, but something's happened. "Hey, you said this morning, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." But you won't read anymore. Wednesday night, we'll not see you. You got opportunity to come, but you won't. You won't pray. Got all day long to pray. You won't pray. You worried about some ball game, some boat trip, some sale down at the clothing store. What's going on with so-and-so across the street? That's what concerns you. You don't talk about the things of God anymore. I wonder, we look at your checkbook and the things you spend your money on. What do you look at on the internet and the things you're doing? You say you're saved. What does He say? Your head bowed, nobody looking on the surface. I'm done. "Well, preacher, I just know I'm saved. No question myself. I just know I'm saved." "Well, I might be some young person here. Maybe some old person said, 'I ain't saved.' I'm wondering, does anyone not raise their hand and say, 'Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Is there one quickly? To my left, in the center, to my right. All right. You professing Christians that say that you're saved, what works are in your life that would manifest and show your faith? Preacher, I'm short on that. I wonder if you'd just lift up your hand and say, Lord, I want to confess that to you. Not what ought to be. Hands are going up all over the building. I mean, just all over. Mine too. Mine too. Anybody else? I'm just going to confess it to you. Mine too. Anybody else? Put it up, put it down. Anybody else? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I want to do something strange tonight. Look at me. Everybody look at me. I believe Him. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Him. I'm going to ask you for something tonight. If you raise your hand in honesty before God, I'm going to ask you, would you just, I don't want you to bow. I want you just to slip up to this altar. We're going to stand in here tonight. I never do this, but I feel led to do it this way tonight. I'm going to ask you, would you just stand with me? Because I have my hand up too. My works are sure. Hey, they sure ain't what they ought to be. Would you come? I bet this place ought to be filled up with people who raised their hand and said, Lord, my works, I could do more. I just want you to stand. We're going to face the cross. Would you come? You just being honest before the Lord. My soul. I want to do more for Jesus. I want to work for Him. I want to live for Him. I want my life to count for something. Ooh-wee, Jesus, are you looking on? I believe He is. He's looking on right now. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight as we stand in Your house in a holy assembly, Lord, we confess to You and profess to You that we are saved by the blood of Your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord, we thank You for that. And Lord, this life that we live, where now we profess Christ, Lord, somehow we don't work as we should. We don't have the desire to read that we once had. We don't have the desire to attend that we once had. We don't have the drive, Father, in our lives to spend our days with someone after we get out from work just talking about the good things of God. Father, we want in our homes the conversation between mom and dad to be that of righteousness rather than that of contradiction and fussing. God, that old spirit of conflict and that old spirit of criticism has reigned in our lives too long. God, we want works of righteousness, not works of the flesh in our lives. God, I pray when You look in our homes and You look in our lives with our checkbooks and where we go and what we say, Lord, we want it to be about You. And as we stand here tonight, we ask You, would You look at us and know, as we confess to You, that we're not what we're cracked up to be. Lord, we've said a lot of things, but we've said it in error. Would You forgive us of our ways? And God, would You wipe away our sin? And God, when You do that, Father, would You instill a new desire in us? God, a double portion of Your Spirit, one that's even more powerful and more prevalent than the day we got saved. Lord, I was so excited then. Lord, I want to be excited again, just like that. Lord, there's been a few times in my life I have been. But I want to leave tonight saying I've got a renewed vigor, a renewed zeal for the Lord Jesus. I want to make a commitment to Him. I want to serve Him with all my heart. And I can only do that if He'd help me to. Lord, we bow and stand here tonight, God, to come forth to confess our faith and to say to You that our faith should produce works. Works for Your glory. For this help we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I stand there and there's a verse came to my heart. book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I don't want nobody to glorify me. I just want them to glorify Jesus. That's what He's looking for.